back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Bryce, Dr. Bryce Edwards, are you there? Dr. Bryce Edwards, hi.
Hi, Mikey. Yes, I am here and ready. I'm actually in Auckland today, but I'm out on the streets.
Oh, what a great day to be out on the streets.
Bryce was going to come and visit us.
Oh, but, I'd love to see you, Bryce. It would have been great to have you up here.
Next time, eh?
What are you doing? Just pounding the pavement, just on the phone to BFM. How Auckland, hey? Classic.
I went to a good concert last night. Went to see Billy Bragg.
Back in the day, perhaps. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting. That's not entirely. I was going to say, you don't really... I'm starting to see your political leanings now.
Yes. I can't hide them entirely. No.
Was it a good gig?
It was great. It was Avondale, of all places.
Fantastic.
The
venue,
cinema out in Avondale, so it was quite weird.
Did you enjoy it? As a venue, did you like the venue?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Cool, eh?
Yeah.
Quite Wellington, I thought-ish, in a way, sort of way, you know? Fancy cinemas. Hey, let's talk politics, because otherwise I'm just talking rubbish. Okay, so let's... everybody, be they gay or straight, talking about the Pride Parade at the moment, which is quite weird. I'm finding the whole conversation a little bit weird and interesting how, you know, in the modern times, how with everyone being so woke and all, you know, just the way that the arguments and the conversations that have been had are quite bizarre. The whole thing seems quite bizarre initially. It's, from what I gather, is it the police are asked to not wear the uniforms when parading or at the actual event when they're working at the event?
No, it's about when they're parading.
So when they're parading.
Fascinating debate within the LGBT+ movement because for a long time, there have been people uncomfortable about having police in the parade. They have been marching there for many years, but about 3 years ago, I think it was, that they started wearing their uniforms there. And also, there's been an issue with prison guards as well. So last year, the board of the parade, told the prison guards that they didn't want them marching in uniforms. And so now they've extended that to the police. So the police have said, well, if we can't march in our uniforms, we won't march at all.
Which I heard, I did hear a comment yesterday from a spokesman for the police saying, look, you know, it's actually a really big, the uniform itself is actually something that is a big part of the job, which I guess I kind of understand, but that's also what's fueling the fire, because the reason they're asked to not wear them is because of the way that and the ongoing way that people in that community have been treated by the police, you know.
Yes, so partly it's an historic thing in the sense that, you know, traditionally, well, it was illegal to be gay, of course. And
this is something I don't think young folk really can get their head around. It used to be illegal, like illegal.
Well, illegal to practice homosexuality. So this means that the police kind of have a bit of a history of, you know, cracking down on what were deemed sexual deviance.
I felt like a lot of this is more geared, like coming from the trans sort of part of the community, you know.
Yep, that's right, because they still feel that they're at the hard end of this struggle, because there is still prejudice, of course, and they believe that the police still aren't really sensitive enough, and that are still a force for reactionary views.
Yeah.
But in a sense, I mean, this might seem kind of trivial, it might seem all a bit, I don't know, even crazy to some people, but it's kind of a divide in the movement that sort of is almost like a proxy for bigger things, because the movement definitely has a more...
The movement being the...
Sorry, the queer movement, LGBTQ...
I'm happy if you say queer as well. I think I don't think that's offensive to anyone.
No.
I get my BQs, TWYs and all muddled up.
Exactly.
And I love my multisexual friends. Yeah. So everyone just shush. Okay. So
in the queer community, there's always been a more radical part of it, and there's been the more conservative part, and they've coexisted quite nicely, especially when there's been this struggle on for progress. But now that some feel that the struggle's been won, the conservative end of it, you know, are very welcoming of the corporate sponsors, the more establishment figures, but the radical end don't want that. And so,
you can sort of see why, because the more money you've got to work with, the better thing you can put on for A, for the community, for the queer community itself, and B, to make it more of a more of a hot ticket for people who aren't in that community. But of course, when you're canvassing for more money, then it starts becoming, you know, turning an independent radio station into a commercial radio station, sort of thing.
Exactly. So there's all sorts of kind of challenges and charges of pinkwashing. So the more radical, you know, part of the movement talk about the fact that these government departments and banks are just there to, you know, for branding, for trying to convince us to spend our pink money.
No shit. Hey, look at that. Look at my rain. Look at what ANZ did last year. The rainbow ATM. Oh, cool. Wow.
For the more moderate end of the spectrum, you know, that's all about being inclusive. That's
I guess so, yeah. I mean, but it is a bit twee.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people think. And so, you know, they've made a stand this year, but it hasn't gone down well because it is, you know, it's a really divisive thing. And I think what it comes down to is that just like any so-called community, whether it's the Māori community or whatever, often it's not a homogenous whole. You know,
sure.
You know, sometimes it is a bit hard to really have one community or one political party that's representing all these groups.
And when you've got a group that has been wronged in the past badly, it's like their voices are extra loud and extra passionate, and you know, so
that's right. Yeah. But if you think of it, something like the Māori Party, you know, it aimed, you know, in the political party sense to represent all Māori, and it couldn't actually be done, and so they got into Parliament, but they ended up splitting, you know, with Honeohara Lua, I remember, being the more radical, splitting off, creating the Mana Party, and I think you can see the queer community is similar in that sense to the Māori community, in that, you know, there's many different political interests and different ways of thinking about the world and politics that can't really easily be kept into one parade or one community, and so I think in the end...
But that's okay. Surely they just shouldn't just do the parade. Just not put it on the itinerary. We were on the float on the Hero Parade once. BFM was, and it was cool fun. It was, you know,
BFM.
And it was really cool fun. I felt like we were welcomed there and that sort of thing. But I can see how if it wasn't representing you, then fair enough, you know, because it's definitely a certain take on it, you know. Not everybody's Mardi Gras, not everybody's quick, exactly. You know, into parading it around, regardless, you know. And it's like, but it's the interesting thing that's happened after the ban on police uniforms that's come up is that all these big, all the banks and the big telcos are withdrawing their sponsorship. Surely they're just doing that because one of them's gone, yeah, let's withdraw our sponsorship because it'll make us look like, because, you know, Vodafone can sit there and withdraw the, wow, does that make, you're such a people company. You know, it's like, it's all about, that's why they would have got involved in the first place. And so they'll use this as an opportunity to go, oh, cool, and that'll just save a bit of money as well. We don't have to pay for that. And
although, it has to be pointed out that there's a lot of people in the queer community that are also upset about this. So, I don't know.
But I'm just interested to know why all these, you know, why, since when was the Vodafone, the BNZ and the ANZ so tight with the police, you know, or so concerned about the running of the parade, you know? It's like it suddenly just all seems a little bit too rats deserting the ship sort of thing, you know?
So it's certainly getting quite heated, you know, and quite sort of divisive. So in the end, there's a small chance that the parade won't even happen. That it'll be called off. I don't think I'll get to that. There's been a special meeting called.
There'll be some... Because it's a cool... You know, I think it's a cool thing to have. I think it's really cool. And I think at the end of the day, you know, like we mentioned before, it is really important to remind people of the way that society perceived that particular lifestyle choice. and that particular or that particular human being. People, it was looked down upon. It was called disgusting, and that's just not right. You know, that's not right. And we should be ashamed of ourselves for even doing that.
That's right. So what you're saying is it's a really political issue, and I guess some people forget the politics in it all, and for better or worse, want to just have a celebration and want to have a party. Yeah. But there is some
good part. Good hero parties. Hey, before we move on to the next topic, how do you feel about? I saw a tweet last night from someone going, one thing I do not want to hear about the Pride Parade anymore is from two white males, two straight white males talking about. You know, so I mean, is it even our right to talk about this, Bryce?
That's the age old question. I don't have an answer. That, but
my answer is yes. Yes, we do. Anyway, so let's move on. Okay, so political polling.
Yes, so I mean, every once in a while you hear rumours of internal polls. Now, these are the polls that the political parties get. They get commissioned companies to do. So they want to know, how people are thinking and feeling. And so the Labour Party and the National Party are always getting these done, whereas we don't hear that many in the media at the moment. There's not that many public polls that are being produced.
Are they phone polls?
They're all phone polls, yeah. So
who answers their phone anymore? I'm serious.
Actually, some of them aren't. Some of them do use the internet. But I believe this one is a phone poll. And it's been, spread around a bit, and who knows whether it's true or not. But according to this, it has Labour going up to 47%, which is pretty
juggernaut.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And, it's a wee bit above the last recorded public poll, but it's 47%. It's got National down to 37%, which is, again, extraordinary. And the other two.
Do you think that's extraordinary? Because they've had a pretty shit run of it.
Yes, but they've never dropped below 40% for, about 15 years, it seems.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose a lot of these supporters just die off of it,
I don't think it's that. No, I mean, it was only, 12 months ago that they had an election and got I can't remember now, was it 45%?
I know.
So within a year, it's dropped down to 37%, if it's true, is pretty scary for the Nats.
I'm sort of proud of New Zealand, because I think that they deserve to what was going on there, and we talk about, I suppose, the Jeremy Ross and all that stuff and the peripheral stuff that we found out about, that should have caused a few people to change, not change sides so much, but just to withdraw their support, I believe, anyway. No matter who the party was, I think because I was starting to sort of sit there and go, well, it's like Donald Trump, just do whatever you want, and it's not going to make any difference, I'm glad it does make a difference if this poll is to be
right
believed.
And so this poll also had the Greens and New Zealand First both on 7%, so they are doing quite well. And so if it's true, then you've got the parties of government on 61%, which I don't know if I've ever seen before. I'm just thinking back, normally when you have a coalition government and the main party's doing well, the lead party, the smaller parties aren't doing well. But in this case, if this poll's to be believed, all parties in the coalition are doing extremely well. So
it's a bit of a thumbs up for MEP.
It is, but it's also very much a thumbs down for Simon Bridges, and it will be, if this comes to be true, I think we are looking at maybe the dying days of Simon Bridges' leadership.
So the fact that you know about this means that there's going to be a certain level of government that's hearing this being bandied around as well, which means
I presume the poll is from the Labour Party, that they've commissioned it.
Right, but it hasn't been officially announced.
No, I know.
Okay, so let's assume Simon Bridges knows about it. Let's assume National Party knows about it. What sort of spin are they going to be putting in place? No matter who that, I'm not trying to bag National, but I do, but I'm not at the moment. if you're the opposition and something like that's happening, what do they do? What do they all, circle the wagons sort of thing and prepare for another onslaught?
That's what they have been doing. They've been circling the wagons, and despite everything else that's gone badly for National, the one thing that they have done well is that they've united during this tough time.
Sorry, the reason I laughed, I just looked at what the next song was, and it's called Crush Crusher. Funny. Isn't that funny?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Isn't that funny? Carry on.
I mean, National will quite rightly not comment on this because it is just a rumour and it's got no verification.
But it
suggests that when a real poll comes out, when a public poll comes out, which could be in a couple of weeks, it points to what it might say. And if you remember back to, it was at the start of this year that Simon Bridges, took over the leadership, and he contested it against Judith Collins and Amy Adams, etc. And Judith Collins said at the time that if she won the leadership and the polls sunk to the mid-30s, she would resign. And she pretty much
kept
the
seat
for whoever won. That would be the resigning point. So, yes, I think this does put huge pressure on Simon Bridges to, if we get these polls out that are around the mid-30s, to consider his future.
And if they weaken at the top of the National Party, then they're going to have a lot of clawing back to do, unless they have some shining star. I lost one of those.
the shining star that I would look out for, I don't know how.
Really? Okay, well, this is what I want to know. This is what I want to go, Bryce, go.
But Maggie Barry, she's the dark horse.
Oh, shush. I don't think we can have you on the radio anymore, Bryce. Really?
Yeah, she's very popular within the National Party. And
have you heard her speak about anything interesting? I've heard her speak about the most mundane stuff, and in the speech I have heard seem a little bit uninformed, to be honest.
Yes,
and that's coming from me.
That comment made before.
Yeah,
but look at who's running the world at the moment. Who's the president of the US. Sometimes he's not as informed as he should be.
Hey, Bryce, thank you very much. Enjoy walking around Auckland on the phone.
Okay, cheers, Mikey.
Cheers, man. Speak to you again soon. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.